Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Let's go there. I'll take about 20 minutes tonight, and I'm going to give you some things that I hope will stir our hearts a little bit. By the way, parents, if there was anything in there that you're offended by, I apologize. I really mean that. It's very hard sometimes as a pastor to know what to show and know what not to. I know there's younger children in there, and I know that there's some unpleasant things in there. By the way, children, look up here and let your preacher explain a little bit about what you just saw. There's an unbiblical, warped, ungodly thinking, a gross, horrible, wicked sin that's sweeping across America. And what it is this. When a boy gets up to a certain age where it's time for him to look for someone to marry, instead of looking for a godly young lady or a young lady at all, there is a satanic, wicked sin that is telling him that it is okay to go find a young man to go have a boyfriend and marry another man. Same thing with a young lady. She gets up to a point in time in her life when she is of an age to consider marriage. Instead of going out and trying to find a godly young man or a young man at all, there's a wicked segment of society that says it's okay for you to marry a woman. And of course, God condemns this in the Word of God. God says that's wickedness, that's evil. God destroyed a city called Sodom and Gomorrah because they gave themselves to this. And the more America goes that way, the more we're in danger of a Sodom and Gomorrah type visitation from God ourselves. Folks, how many of you believe that 9/11 was a little bit of a foreshadowing, a little warning from God that says, I'm not going to long put up, America, with you going in the direction that you're going? Now, I understand that a lot of folks that were killed on 9/11 certainly were not only not homosexuals, but were Christian people. But let me say this, the rain falls upon the just and unjust alike. If God judges America, it's just not going to be the homosexuals that are judged. It's going to be all of us that have to face the judgment of Almighty God. Now, I want to read one verse to you and see if I can be of a help in this matter, because I want to give you some very practical things. A lot of times we're stirred, and then we don't know what to do with that stirring. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, let me just read this verse. The first word is very important. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. Now, you ought to underline this verse or draw an arrow to it or do something there so that you'll see it over and over and over and over again. If there's one verse that I would like you to memorize and say every day of an election year, it's this verse. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to take the brief time that I have. Lord, I want to be respectful of the people's times. The time here, and Lord, but there's information that I know that you want me to give. Help me to do so, Lord, without wandering too much. Help me to be focused. Help me to follow your Spirit's leading. But God, Lord, help us to also understand that there's some things that are important enough for us to sit and be educated about. There's some things, Lord, that we can't just walk away and turn our back on and say, that's not my problem. Lord, this is our problem, and I pray, God, that you'd stir our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Look right up here and let me explain that verse. This is what this verse teaches, that when God looks down at a nation and he sees the vast majority of those people or a good segment of those people that are living a righteous life, he sees righteousness exhibited before heaven. God will reach down with his hand and he will exalt that nation to prominence. If God looks down and he sees the characteristic trait of a nation being unrighteousness, or as this verse says, sin or sinfulness, then God abases and begins to move in with judgment against that nation. Now, people, we cannot forget this. You see, America does not get a free pass just because we're America. Just because we're arrogant Americans, as the Europeans would call us, just because we're arrogant Americans does not mean that we can continue on in sin and think that God is not going to touch us because of who we are. folks, there's 6,000 years of world history that testifies differently. And there are nations that have been broader and more powerful in their day and time than we are right now. And God took them down and allowed them to be destroyed because they forsook righteousness and began to go in the paths of unrighteousness. Now, the reason that I'm preaching on this during our mission month is this. I want to remind our church that America needs to be and always should be. America is our primary mission field. America is our primary mission field. This is why I struggle against the mentality. You've heard me say it a dozen times, but I don't like the idea of hearing somebody talk about home missions versus foreign missions. I've heard people, not in this church, but other places, even complain. I feel like that not enough of our mission money is going overseas. We're giving to missions, but it's staying here. Folks, listen. America is a mission field. America needs to be our primary mission field. If we reach the world and the whole time our nation is being destroyed and heading towards destruction, you realize that soon world missions will go with that. And so although I'm for reaching the uttermost, I'm convinced that the biggest failure of our independent fundamental Baptist churches in the last 30 years have been that we reach our Jerusalem and our uttermost, but we ignore our Judea and our Samaria. We are not concerned enough about what's going on around us. So I wanted to show you this tonight to stir your hearts. And folks, I don't want you to become haters of homosexuals. I want you to hate homosexuality. I want you to hate the sin, but not the people. I pray that we would always have a compassion in our hearts to want to see every person, no matter what their sin, in their life saved. I love that. And by the way, God orchestrated that. I was so encouraged, Sister Tanya, by that special, because you see this stuff and you hear this stuff, and it's so easy to become so discouraged and even defeated. But folks, let me say this. Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer to everything that's wrong in this country. And so I want to talk to you and give you some very practical things to think about and consider. Let me just say this first of all before we wander away from it. Let me heighten what you already feel, heighten that a little bit before I give you some instruction. Folks, this is happening in small town America. We faced not this exact thing, but something very similar in Jacksonville just a handful of years ago. I got on the phone so that I could refresh my memory and not give bad information tonight. But 20 minutes before this, 30 minutes before the service started, something like that, I called our ex-mayor, Dorman Clark. And I said, Brother Clark, apologize for calling you on a Sunday and at your home, but I'm getting ready to preach and I need some information. He's always been so gracious to help this pastor. Brother Jerry, anytime you call, anytime you need anything, I can help you. I'll take the time. If I have it, I'll take the time. And so I said, we faced just a few years back. We had one of the taverns, and don't think, folks, for 1 minute that lewdness and alcohol doesn't always go together. It always goes together. We had one of the taverns here in town, without me going into any detail, begin to promote and to begin to make available to this community some very lewd things that were going on right here on Main Street in Jacksonville. Our Christian mayor at that time became concerned about this, and he brought before the city council and tried to pass something called the SOB ordinance, and that stands for sexually oriented businesses. And what it was is, you got to understand, folks, that even amongst our legal system, we just can't pass a law. This is what Mayor Clark, and just outlaw this. But what we can do is we can pass a law in our own community that protects us by stipulating that these activities cannot be, these type of businesses cannot exist on the main street or within a certain number of feet of a church or a certain number of feet of a daycare or a certain number of feet of a school. Now, what they constructed it, and what Mayor Clark and those that were helping put this together, he constructed this in such a way that it would basically eliminate it, make it impossible for them to exist inside the city limits of Jacksonville. Because folks across Jacksonville, whether they're all of our stripe or not, are enough churches and daycares and schools that we would have eliminated by passing this ordinance. He went to bat on this thing. He took hits on this thing. He took a lot of flack on this. Of our five council members that finally voted on this, two voted to pass it, and 3 voted against it, and we did not pass this ordinance right here in Jasonville, Indiana. And by the way, I'm just going to say this, and not so that you're angry, and so not to, that, but so you'll pray. The man that led the charge against supporting it is now the man that's mayor of Jasonville. And you know what? We need to know that. And so what I'm saying is this, folks. You know what scared them off? And by the way, I'm not even saying that these council members and Mayor Clark shared this with me, so I want to share it with you to be fair. But he said, I'm not even saying that they were in disagreement with the ordinance or did not, or that they wanted this type of activity. But here's what we do. The ACLU called up our city council. And what they do is when they don't want something like this passed, they threaten with a lawsuit. And what happens is churches or city councils, small communities, they get scared. They don't want to have to fight lawsuits. So they back up and they back down. And that's exactly what happened in our community. I'm not saying that the 3 council members that voted against this wanted to have lewd businesses. Did I make that clear? Did you understand that? I'm not saying that the people who voted against it wanted those businesses, but they did not have the courage of their convictions. Now, let me ask you this. Do you? Remember what he said that those 56 men, what was written before they signed that? You know why we have this country? Because some patriots were willing to risk their home, everything they owned, and in their words, their sacred honor, so that we could have Christian freedoms. And that is what they were for, is Christian freedoms. Well, Brother Jerry, I don't want to drag my family. I don't think we ought to drag our... You know what you're wanting to do? Why don't you just get a big white flag and start waving it? What are you doing, Brother Jerry? I'm prepping us for battle. Well, when's this going to happen? I don't know. But we're foolish if we don't think it's coming. You're going to see it, young people. You're going to see probably in your lifetime. You're going to see your preacher have to come to the pulpit and break the laws of the land and preach against homosexuality and may end up in jail so that I can be true to the scriptures. Are you listening to me? By the way, I'm going to talk to you about some things. Brother Jerry, what do we do? What do we do? I'll tell you what we do. Number one, righteousness has to start in the church. If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Listen to me. I'm pleading with you. Look up here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not preaching to visitors. I'm not preaching to anybody outside the door. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. It is time that we get wholly and thoroughly and completely right with God. I'm talking to members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's time to stop playing around in sin. It's time to stop making excuses for worldliness. It's time to stop defending doing things that keep us from being righteous before God. You know why? Because righteousness exalteth the nation. The most patriotic thing you can do is get thoroughly and wholly and fully right with God. I don't think, Pastor, the sodomites are the main problem. You've preached and taught us that for years. We want to talk about getting America right with God, but we don't want to turn the TV off. We don't want to tear up our card to a box office or whatever it's called. Summertime comes, we still want to run around immodest. We want to go to certain events that you know aren't pleasing to God. We want to get in the car and look around. Nobody's in the car with us. Turn on the wrong radio station. Listen, I'm telling you, folks, God sees it, and God either sees righteousness and then he exalts a nation based on righteousness, or he sees unrighteousness and he begins to send judgment into that nation, not just to judge the lost, not to just judge this type of sin, but to judge Christians that won't get right with God. By the way, it's time for wives to start submitting to their husbands right here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's time for husbands to step up and start leading the home in a spiritual manner. by the way, you sit there and give me every look you want to give me, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I don't care how much you go sowing. I don't care how many times you work on your bus or how many visitors you got. If you won't go home, lady, and say to your husband, I want your heart and your vision, and I'm your helpmeet, and I'm here to support you, and I'm here to back you. If you are a tyrant at home, then you are causing unrighteousness in your home, and you are bringing God's judgment upon this country. By the way, it's time for teenagers to stop rebelling against godly parents. It's time for young people to stop copping an attitude in the Christian school. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot more at stake than any of us really understand. A lot more at stake. You boys may think it's a cute thing, but you go home and you give your mama attitude and disobey your mother, you know what? God sees that, and God, that is part of what is collected up and comes up to God as a case to bring judgment upon this country. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Brother Jerry, why do you do right when nobody's looking? Because there's never a time nobody's looking. God's always looking. And I love America. I love my country. I love America. And we can sit there and say, see, those are the group that's destroying America. That's not the group destroying America. This stubbornness, this wickedness that's going on within the house of God. Folks, listen to me. How do you, Brother Jerry, turn this thing around? How do we get God's blessing back on our country? Through righteousness. Number one, we got to get right with God ourselves. Number two, we've got to go get people saved. Now look up here and listen to me, church. I'm going to tell you something. This preacher is grieved because of the churches and the state of the churches, the average church in southern Indiana and the average church in America. Let me tell you what's happening. We're not even reaching our Jerusalem. Now listen to me. I'm not preaching on soul winning yet. Stay with me. But I'm going to tell you, the devil has neutralized the average Baptist church in America. I could sit here, if I was so cruel, and I could rattle off the names of a dozen churches right off the tip of my tongue that's in southern Indiana that could be vibrant lighthouses for Jesus Christ and ought to be shaking their community for Jesus Christ. But you know what? All they do is inner fight. The bunch of Diotrephes. They won't let a preacher preach. They won't let him lead. They won't take stands. They won't go forward. They won't support any evangelistic efforts. They're just a bunch of selfish, if they are saved, they're just a bunch of selfish, carnal Christians that want to be a big duck in a small pond, and they don't want to go out and do anything for the community. Listen to me. If you're more concerned about the latest gossip at Blessed Hope Baptist Church or who you're mad at or what you don't agree with, then you're carnal and you don't get it. You don't get it. The devil's got a bunch of people inner fighting and can't get along, and this family won't get along with this thing. This person don't like this person. You spend a whole week on that stuff and you won't even go out and knock on one door. Listen, if the devil can keep us divided amongst ourselves and lose our vision and won't shake this community for Jesus Christ, you know what? There isn't going to be much righteousness because we're not going to be winning many people to Jesus Christ. Now, listen, this is real stuff. This is why when you're a preacher, sometimes, listen, I understand that solving problems is part of the ministry. I get that. And I'm not afraid to do that, and I'm not unwilling to do that. But I shouldn't have to do much of it. We need to get a maturity about us. We need to stop majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. We need to stop yawning when two people came this morning and got saved and yet get excited the minute we get home and around the table about spreading of the local gossip. Or who done what. Or what you didn't like about that sermon. That's just wicked. It's wicked. I mean, we're sending men of God into churches to try to get revival and try to get something started. And you know what you're finding out? There's church after church after church of people that are set there for the last 20 years and they haven't made any influence in their community for Jesus Christ, and they have no intention to, because it's all about them and what they want, and they want to boss the preacher and they want to control the program. They want to be a big shot, but they never pass out a gospel tract. They never witness to anybody. And listen, what's happening, and you know, these type of things is not a result of a small, tiny, microscopic percentage of our population.
They want to tell you it's 10%. Let me, trust me, it's not 1%. It's not 1%. But the problem is we're not getting people saved. I'm not saying we're not doing something here. Bless hope, folks, listen, compared to what we could do, we're not. What I'm here to tell you is let's get excited once again about getting people saved. Why? Because every time somebody gets saved, then they get righteous before God and they got a chance to learn how to live righteously. And you know what? They are another reason that God can look down and point at and say, you know what? I'm not going to judge America yet because, bless God, there are some people doing right. America is our most important mission field. So number one, first of all, as Christians, we've got to get thoroughly right with God. Number two, as Christians, we have to be involved in evangelizing our community for Jesus Christ. We've got to reach our Jerusalem. We've got to do it. We've got to. You see. Now, let me give you something else. I've talked about this. I want to talk a little bit about it tonight again. But folks, listen, I feel like our responsibility goes beyond our Jerusalem. I believe the Bible teaches that. I know that there's only a limited amount that we can do to affect, influence all of southern Indiana. But whatever we can do, we should do. We need to pray. We need to support the birthing of independent fundamental Baptist churches. We need to pray for revival in the midst of some of the independent fundamental Baptist churches that are sitting there not doing anything. We need to pray that God would send men of God to stir and to preach and to energize congregations, that the Holy Spirit would come in and take over again and people would decide they're going to bust out the doors and shake the community for Jesus Christ. They're going to get the gospel out. They're going to live right in front of their neighbors, and then they're going to tell folks why they're living right, because Jesus Christ changed their life. So we've got to affect what we can. We've got Judea projects planned for this year. We got three of them on the west side of Indiana that we're going to oversee. Brother LaFountain, let me just share this with you. Brother LaFountain, who is Barbie Jeffries' pastor over in Madison, has agreed to partner with me, and he's taking the west side. We went to Scottsburg and did the, remember that, those of you that went with us? We ended up traveling over 2.5 hours back, 5 hours of travel to visit, 3 hours. It's not practical. So he's going to oversee three Judea projects on the east side. I'm going to oversee at least three this week. Listen, folks, every once in a while on a Saturday, I'm going to say, let's pull our resources and our manpower. And folks, let's visit our routes on Friday evening or something, do the best we can, and let's go somewhere. Why, Brother Jerry, why? I'll tell you why. Because righteousness exalteth the nation. Because I believe, listen to me, folks, I believe we've got a little something going here. I believe there's a little touch of God. I think we're not perfect, but we're trying to head in the right direction. Sometimes we just need to take what we are and go influence a church and help that pastor give them a vision that, you know what, there's something more important than the color of the carpet in the nursery. I mean, there's a world going to hell around us, and we're bickering over the most ridiculous things in our churches. One of these pastors I'm trying to help, he called me this way. This is insane. This is, I'm going to share it with you. It's insane. Brother Jerry, I'm facing a problem, and I don't know exactly. I just want to get some wisdom and see what. I said, Brother, what's going on? He says, well, I'm being attacked by a couple of women in the church. I said, why? And he said, well, he said, since I came here, I never thought about it. But, you know, the church I came from, we always just called on men to pray, and I've been doing that for several months, and these women are starting this, you know, campaign against me, going around to all the members saying he won't call on women to preach, to pray publicly in the church, because he doesn't think that we're good enough Christians to pray in the church. Now, you know, at a Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's so obviously ridiculous. Amen. Amen. And he said, so I wanted to give him wise counsel. I wanted to give him God's counsel, you know. I said, go slap him. Yeah, just go slap him. Just smack him down. Smite the scorner, the simple beware. Just go, just smack. No, I didn't say that. I wanted to say that, but I didn't say that. What in the world? I mean, folks, this is elementary Bible. And let me just say unapologetically here, that, you know what, we encourage and we develop and we strengthen men leadership in the church. And in the home.
unapologetically. See, when the feminism bandwagon came through, not all of us jumped on it in the 70s. Some of us just held on to our King James Bible and said, you know, I think we'll just do it God's way. Amen. Let me give you something. Can you take it? Let me give you something. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. We need a revival. You need a revival. You need some women to hit the altar. Say, I've been trying to run my home. I throw a fit, cry, pout every time my husband don't do what I want or do it the way I want. And the honest truth is your desire is to run your home. Get mad, get glad. Get on it or get over it. Let me tell you something. And if you'll understand this. Say, Brother Jerry, what do you want? I want you to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. I want you to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. Ladies, you have to understand this. If you don't get this, you're going to live in turmoil your whole marriage. So let me teach you something. Okay? You got to go back to Genesis and you got to figure out why God made Adam and why God made Eve. God created the world and he created a garden and then he created a man. And you know what he said to that man? He put him in the garden. He said, I put you here to dress it and to keep the garden. The man was created to do the will of God, to accomplish a specific job for God while he was here on earth. How many agree with that? Then God backed up, looked at that situation, and Adam went to work. And he said, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him a help or a helper, meet for him, or designed just for him. To help what? To help him do what? I'm going to say some things, and some of you just need to hear it. Because it's killing us. I'm trying like crazy as a preacher to energize our men into prayer, into service, into leadership, and get involved in the church. And you know what? Listen to me. Some of you ladies don't get it. A man is created. The primary will of God for a man, the reason he was put on earth, is because God has something that man must accomplish. It burns in him. It's a desire he has. That's why when I preach on getting something done for God, when I present Judea Project, when I present Operation Think, when I present these opportunities, the men just sit out there and I've got their full attention and there's something inside of them saying, I want to affect this world for God. Okay? You know why? Because that's how we're created. We're created to go do something for God. And that is the primary will of God for our life. Don't forget what I said, the word primary. That's the primary will of God for these young men right here. Every one of them want to build something, break something, blow something up, do something. And God's going to, if they stay in the will of God and they stay focused on God, God's going to tell every one of you young men what that is that you want to. I'm not talking to, don't get mad at me. I'm not talking about being a plumber, being a carpenter, that's fine. But folks, there's something beyond that. That's fine. You know what? The vast majority of Christendom's going to be laymen. That's fine. But you know what? That's not all God created you to do. God wants you. Listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's something spiritual. There's something godly. There's something ministry that God wants you to do even as a layman. So I get men excited about this. But wait a minute. Watch this. The primary will of God for a man, the reason he was created, was to go do something for God, to find the job God had for him and pour himself into it. The reason a woman's created is so that she can come alongside him and help him as he does the will of God that God's given him to do. Now, ladies, here's where the confusion comes. The primary will of God, I'm going to say this, then I'm going to duck. The primary will of God for a man is to do the will of God, find the will of God and do it. The primary will of God for a woman is to help the man.
We are work-oriented, and you are to be your husband-oriented. And you, some of you are aggravated because you want him to become wife-oriented. You want the primary will of God for his life to be to serve you, to provide for you, to do for you. You want to be God. You want to be the will of God. So I get men that come to me and they're excited. And, oh, what can I do? The next thing you know, they go home and, well, you're not, what, every evening, one evening a week? I don't think so. You want to do what? I don't think so. What about this? Oh, why don't you take me here? Why don't you do this? Wait a minute. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say, what is God telling you to do? What does God want you to accomplish? What does God want you to throw your life in? And listen, how can I help you? How can I come alongside you? How can I encourage you? How can I help you to make that happen? Teach you something else. Listen, folks, that's why when I was 17 years old and I God broke my spirit and I laid aside my rebellious attitude and I fully surrendered the will of God. Then after that, God called me into the ministry. He's not going to do that with everybody. But listen, when I went to Bible college, I'm going to say it. Doesn't bother me if a young lady comes to my office and says, as a senior, I say to them, what do you want to do with your life? They say, well, I want to go to Bible college here. I said, okay, why do you want to go? Find a husband. I say, amen. No, amen. Now listen to me a minute. If a young man came to me and said, I want to go to Bible college for you, why? I'm going to find a wife. That bothers me. Amen. Folks, I didn't go to Bible college to find a wife. It's, Brother Jerry, let me say this, primarily. That wasn't my first thing. If you'd have asked me, 17-year-old, why I was going to Bible college, I'd say, you know what? Because I'm going to find the will of God and do it. Amen. And when I landed at college, I didn't spend every evening running around chasing skirts. Amen. You know what I did? I said, I'm going to prepare to serve God. I'm going to prepare in every way. I'm going to study. I'm going to listen. I'm going to get involved in the ministries. I'm going to serve God. God's called me to do something. And as I was heading towards the will of God for my life, God in His time brought along a submissive helpmate to come alongside and says, by the way, young ladies, you better find, you know, listen, you don't want to find somebody, some man who makes you the pride of your life. You want to find some young man that's going somewhere and doing something, accomplishing something. You ought to hook up with him and say, you know what, I'm going to help him do it. Here's somebody that wants to do something. Here's somebody that wants to accomplish something. Here's somebody that's got the hand of God on them. And you know what? I want to just be a part, and I want to help, and I want to be a helpmeet and help him accomplish that. Not turn him from it. Not detract him from it or distract him from it. Not lead him away from it. Doesn't bother me if a senior girl comes in my office and I say, what do you want to do after you graduate? Real Jerry, I'll just be honest with you. My heart's desire is just get married and be a wife and a mother. You know what I say? Amen. It's finally someone that didn't drink the devil's Kool-Aid. Amen. By the way, that's no second-rate goal. That's top notch. That's top shelf goal right there, brother. Amen. I want these girls, every young lady in here, I want them to lay awake at nights and think, you know what, I can't wait to the day when I walk down and get married and I can throw my life into somebody and have children and be a keeper at home and encourage my... praise God. Don't come in there and talk to me about what career you want. I don't want to hear about it. Now, a young man comes to my office. Don't get mad at me. Well, go ahead. I don't care. But if a young man comes to my office, say, what do you want to do? You're 17, you're 18, you're going to graduate. What do you want to do? Well, you know what? What I really want to do is just get married and have a family. Really? By the way, is there anything wrong with that? Nope. Is there anything wrong with desiring that? Nope. But that's it? Funny, you've got the same goals as women. You've been effectively feminized. Where is the young man that comes in and I say, young man, what do you want to do? And tears well up in his eyes and he may even not even know. He said, I don't know, preacher. I just know that I want to do something for God. In some way I want to affect this world. There's worlds going to hell and I want to do something about it. And I don't even know for sure what it is, but I want to do something about it. By the way, I'd like to get married too. Hey, I can deal with that. Normal as can be. But that's it?
Why don't we have missionaries? Because they've already surrendered to being husbands by the time they're 16. They've surrendered to a mission field. They're going to serve a little skirt and some perfume for the rest of their life. And by the way, young lady, you may be selfish and you may think that that's what you want. But if you take a man who's going somewhere, a young man who's going somewhere and has got some vision, and you selfishly turn all of that energy towards you, you're going to despise what you end up with. There's going to be a day when you despise what you've created. And by the way, he'll despise himself. There's a D word waiting in some of your futures. Parents, listen to me. You ought to listen to your preacher. You ought to support what I'm teaching these young people. They shouldn't be running around chasing each other through their high school years. You get as mad as you want to, but you are hurting this church. You're hurting our school. You're hurting your young people. Because these young men get so focused on marriage and getting married and the first opportunity, they won't even consider the will of God. They won't even consider what God wants them to do. Their primary focus in this TV movie lust, it's what it is. It's not love. It's lust-ridden society, is what can I do and how fast can I do what I want to do and do it as legally as I possibly can, because that's what I'm all about. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody with that kind of mentality ever published a paper and built the sword of the Lord. Nobody with that kind of mentality founded Highland Park Baptist Church and Tennessee Temple Schools. A man with a vision did it. A man that had a purpose. A man who found that God wanted him to do something. By the way, every man I'm talking about, I could call scores of others. There's a reason you're sitting here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The reason these buildings are here, the reason this ministry's here. And you know why it was? Because there was a time that not only my father went to an altar, but my mother went to the altar. And she said this, if this is what God you're calling my husband to do, even if I don't understand it, even if maybe I don't even get it, all I know is if this is what he tells me you want us to do, I'm going to get behind him. I'm going to support him. I'm going to sacrifice. I'll do without. I'll live any way we have to live, because there's something more important than me. There's a nation that needs to be reached. There's a community that needs a church. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. This building and this ministry is here as much of a result as the decision that Donna Ross made than Bob Ross made. Just as much, just as equal. Thank God for Christian women. Stop hobbling your husband. Take the bridle off of him. Let him run. You'd be surprised what he might accomplish for God. Come to an altar and say, God, forgive me. I've been insisting he serve me instead of you. Forgive me, God. Go home and say, you know what? I was wrong. I've been trying to run and lead, and I need to just shut up and follow. I wish I could open my heart to you. Some of you think, Brother Jerry, you're mean, you're cruel. I wish I could open my heart to you. If you could see my heart right now, you'd understand that I have not any animosity towards anybody in this room. I am absolutely broken over the fact that we are pulling our hair out trying to reach a country, and all of the ingredients, the basic ingredients that need to be... Pastor hit it the other day. You know, the Satan's got into the homes and cut off the supply house for Christian workers and Christian servants, and we live in a generation of Christian carnality and Christian selfishness and Christian materialism. And you know what? Nobody seems to have a vision to do anything for God. Well, maybe every other week for about an hour. And what's happening is you're seeing the result of it right there. Because you know what? Christians are playing a game. Righteousness exalteth the nation. I'm going to tell you something, lady. Everything that you think you're going to get by demanding it, God would give it to you if you do it right. And you'd be happy. And you'd be happy. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to just publicly say this. She in the nursery, my wife in the nursery. By the way, if she can do a turn in the nursery, a lot of you can do a turn in the nursery. If I don't have to have my wife sitting in here you know what? Your wife can go back there and serve also. I understand there's some that can't because of physical problems. I understand that. Some of you need to stop your selfishness and let my wife sit in a few more services than she's sitting in. Amen. That was free. That was free. But let me tell you something. Everything that God's allowed me to accomplish in any of my ministries, if you dust that thing for fingerprints, Cheryl Ross's fingerprints is all over it. I'm going to tell you something else. I believe this with the depth of my heart, and I'm not, if God knows, if there's anything I'm 100% convinced of, it's this. Everything that we, and I use that word because we are a team. Everything that we've accomplished in our life, she will get greater rewards for than I will. You know why? Because what has been asked of her is more that's been asked of me. It's harder to submit than lead. It's harder to be quiet than talk. But thank God, when I was heading for God's will, a meek and quiet spirited woman, God gave us a love for each other, and she said to me, "What does God want you to do? I want to be a part of it. I want to help sacrifice to see it happen. What can I do?" Brother, you know what that is? That's Proverbs 31. That's virtue. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. How could I not love her? I watch her eyes. If she just looks at something, I want to buy it for her. I have to, because she never asks. You know what? That's just that's a Christian woman. I'm glad you're on your bus. I'm glad you're teaching a Sunday school class. I'm glad you're serving in some capacity. But if you come here and you'll put yourself under my authority and serve here, and you won't go home and put yourself under your husband's authority, you've got things whacked up. Things are wacko. Amen. America's our most important mission field. How do we reach it, Brother Jerry? We reach it by getting right with God. We reach it by reaching our Jerusalem. We reach it by getting our families figured out, straightened out. We reach it by young men being raised and told that what you need to do when you're 16, 17, and 18 is be looking and focused on what does God want me to do. And chase that thing. Some of you put the energy that you put into chasing girls, into chasing God's will. We could see a revival. Yes, sir. America's our most important mission. For young men, we need you. Men at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we as men leadership in this church need to shake this community for Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Wives, I plead with you. I can't make you, and I wouldn't make you if I could. If it doesn't come from your heart, it won't be real and it won't last. But we need ladies that'll say, you know what? Primarily, more important than what I have or what kind of car I drive or what kind of house I live in or anything like that is what is the will of God for your life? What does God want you to be involved in? What does God want you to accomplish? And I will throw my energies into helping you accomplish that. That is my purpose. You know what? We'll end up with some couples that'll absolutely turn this community on their ear for Jesus Christ. It's good stuff. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll use this message tonight. Lord, we're in trouble. Yeah, they're coming to our town. They're coming. But we're not ready. We're too busy fighting, fussing. Too busy chasing things, building Egypt's pyramids. We're too busy arguing and bickering amongst ourselves, too busy pouting that we didn't get our way, too busy insisting on our will instead of God's will. Oh God, I pray that you'd stir us. Jerusalem is not being reached effectively. Jerusalem is not being impacted as it could be. Lord, I pray whatever has entangled us and is keeping us from going forward in each individual life. I pray for young men. I pray for young men. Would to God, instead of a young man that's heard this message, would to God, instead of getting mad about this, he'd get broken about this. Would to God there would be a repentance come in his heart. Would to God that moms and dads who have not been guiding their children right in this area would hit an old-fashioned altar and say, God, there's a will for their lives that's more important than some of this nonsense. Would to God we'd have wives. Would to God we'd have men that say, God, show me, give me something to do, give me a vision. Help me to get in the ministries here. Help me to get behind my preacher. Help me get behind the program. Let's do something. Let's shake this community for God. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. Help us, God. We need a revival in America. But Lord, if we're going to see a revival in America, we've got to see a revival in the church. If we're going to see revival in the church, we've got to see revival in each individual heart.